How's it going? It's weird to watch yourself in a video. My name is Mike. I am a pastor here. I know some of you saw Pastor Larry, and you're like, yes. And then I came up there, and you're like, ah, we know he's here. We know he's here. He'll be back next week, so you got me for one more week. Thanks for coming back if you knew I was going to be here today. That means a lot to my ego and pride, so thanks a lot. We are going to kind of hop right into, we're continuing our series on temptation today. If you've got your Bible, let's open it up to Matthew 4. We're going to look at the story of Jesus getting tempted in the wilderness. Before we do that, while you're flipping pages there, let me pray real quick, and then we'll hop right into things today. So Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be here to speak again. Lord, I just pray that your words will come through me today in this message. And God, just speak to us through your word as you always do. Let the distractions just stay outside of these walls for a little while longer while we focus in on you and drawing near to you today. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Matthew 4, the temptation of Jesus. We're going to read this. We're going to circle back to this. So we're going to get some context and all that in a little bit, but I want you to hear it first. Okay? This is the temptation of Jesus. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus told him, "No. The scriptures say people do not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple and said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off, for the scriptures say he will order his angels to protect you and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." Jesus responded, "The scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God." Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. "I will give it all to you," he said, "if you will kneel down and worship me." "Get out of here, Satan," Jesus told him, "for the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil went away and angels came and took care of Jesus. So these past 2 weeks, we've been kind of diving into some different kinds of temptation. Week one, we looked at like the big, bad temptations that we're drawn towards and kind of ways that we can avoid them, right? Using this case study of David and Bathsheba. You guys remember that, week one? Right, practically, we went over some simple steps that David just did not take and encourage everyone to look out for, you know, these promises. Look out for what God promises to help us and give us that out when we're looking for it in the midst of temptation. And also for us to remember, like, no matter how far we are into temptation, that it's not too late and that there's always a way out and that God has not given up on you and that there is a way to find your way back to drawing near to God. Now, last week, we took like a little bit more of an abstract approach, I guess, in looking at temptation as we dove into the sneaky temptation of being drawn away or distracted from God. And remember our word? Paraspao, while still doing things that were good. Kind of a doing the right things for the wrong reasons talk. And we use the story of Mary and Martha to illustrate and learn from. And we ended that discussion with a little bit of a to be continued, right? So as you left, you were left with the challenge to kind of examine areas in your life this past week where you were paraspao, right? Where you were distracted or drawn away from God. Areas you felt you may have started off with good intentions to draw near to God, but that have slowly over time drifted into you just doing things based off this chaotic schedule that we've got, or maybe just new motives that you had when it got hard. Leaving you in a situation where you were actually distancing yourself from God. We looked at things like social media, a busy schedule, youth sports, our church life, and some others to kind of help illustrate. So this week, to wrap up our little mini-series on temptation, we're going to dive into a solution for our temptation problems, specifically when it comes to our ability to have the strong faith we so desperately, as believers, want to have and to keep. A solution on how we can avoid losing those good and godly initial intentions and stick to those convictions that were drawing us near to God in hopes that he would, as promised, draw near back to us, even when it's really hard, or maybe when it's just easier for us just to avoid or give in to what we want to do. So today we're talking about a solution to the temptation to your paraspao. As a bonus for everybody, this solution will actually probably benefit you in every area of your walk as a follower of Jesus. Whether you've been following him for 50 years or today is your very first day. And I will warn you, today's message is not going to have a lot of catchy solutions like stay off the roof from our first week, and we won't really have any deep original thoughts from me, sorry. But today we're going to go back to the basics of faith as Christians and keep it as simple as we possibly can. Though I will tell you that our simple solution today comes with a difficult price. And that price is you as a believer of the Word of God, a follower of Jesus, being willing to submit your ability to fix everything yourself or understand everything yourself when it comes to your faith walk and when it comes to what is necessary to draw near to God. You see, all I want to do today when focusing on a solution for how we keep from drawing away from God in our day-to-day is to look upon the one thing Martha lost sight of last week in our story. Today, we're going to focus on Jesus. If you're taking notes, I'm not going to build up to a solution here today. I'm going to start with one and kind of go backwards and explain, okay? So if you're ready, say, I'm ready. Okay, good. All right, so recently, if you would have said no, that would have been awkward for me. So recently, our church went under a name change, as everybody knows. And with that, we really wanted to refocus on the mission of this church. And I'm not going to dive like super, super into this, but we came up with this. This is kind of like the mission, right? So if you want the fancy way to say it is basically home church exists to help others find the Father, experience the kingdom, look more like Jesus every day. Now, I could spend, as much time as you want diving into that statement on how it came to be and what it means, these biblical implications of each word and various ways that it can play out. But today, all I want to do is focus on those last two sentences. Because I believe that the solution to our problem when it comes to our desires taking over and drawing us away from God or our difficulty in staying away from or giving in to temptation lie in those words. Remember, James tells us, draw near to God, and he will what? Draw near to you. So that's what we're trying to accomplish here. So if you're taking notes, here's your solution. Write it down. Keep it in your back pocket. Pull it out when you start to wonder why you're drifting so far from God and wondering how you can get back on track. Your solution is this. Look more like Jesus every day. That's it. You're dismissed. Seriously, though, 1 John 2:6 tells us the one who says he belongs to Christ should live the same kind of life Christ lived. It's kind of odd, don't you think, that many of us have business life or even like social media influencer role models that we try to mirror, and we, of course, read their books, listen to their podcasts, watch their tutorials, study their lives, then model our lives after them in order to find the success they have. But when it comes to Jesus, this idea of intentionally looking like him is foreign to a lot of Christians. Sometimes we get so caught up in our own stuff or in feeling like we need some wise, brilliant, perfect sermon or feel like we aren't smart enough or capable enough to handle the situation to our problems or understand the Bible that we tend to overcomplicate and miss the simple truth of Jesus and the benefit of following and modeling our life after him. So today, I want to talk about that. And I want to be clear. I'm not talking about looking like Jesus so that we can obtain or keep our salvation or get a bigger house or be prosperous on earth. I'm talking about looking more like him so that we can stay connected to the Father the way Jesus was connected and avoid the paraspao that comes when anxiety and busyness and distraction gets in the way. Looking like Jesus is a way to help us draw and stay near to the Father. So how do we do this? How do we look more like Jesus? I'm gonna give you a couple ways we can do this, right? This is designed, I'm gonna say this again in a few minutes, this is designed for my fifth grader who will be in the second service. We can all understand what I'm fixing to say here. It's just a matter of if we're gonna do it or not, right? That's how this stuff works. That's usually how church goes, right? You get it, but it's whether you do it or not. So here's a couple ways to help you look more like Jesus. When you say, cool, I'm ready. I want to look like Jesus. I want to do it. Like, how do I do this? Okay? So first, I'm going to tell you this. Study what he said. We have so much teaching from Jesus, right, in the New Testament. So of course, we should read and study his teaching. It's all over the Gospels. If you're new to the Bible, kind of the back third of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those are the Gospels. Those are four accounts of Jesus' life by four different men. Within those are teachings from Jesus and the way that Jesus lived his life. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So what does Jesus say, right? Look at it. What does he call important versus not important? How are we supposed to treat others, handle hard situations, deal with opposition, fight temptation? What are his thoughts on money? What about faith? What about judging? What does he say is the most important commandment? What are his thoughts on helping those who have nothing? How does he say we should pray? What does he say we should pray for? Study these things and base your actions and decisions from there. Here's the amazing thing about studying Scripture and what Jesus said. The more you study it, the more you'll understand who he really was and see his perfect character. And the more you understand that, the easier it is for you to answer when you ask yourself the question, is this something Jesus would say I should do or say? So when you get to that moment of parasympathetic, you can go back to what he said when figuring out if what you are doing is something that looked like Jesus or not. That's it. Don't make it more complicated than it needs to be. When it comes to your faith and you wanting to draw near to God, start with simply knowing, like the back of your hand, what all Jesus said. Allow things to start there and be amazed with the peace and wisdom and freedom that come with it. You'll be shocked at how much this will help you. Studying what Jesus said helps you look more like Jesus because there has never been another person on this earth who practiced what he preached more than Jesus. What Jesus said to talk, how Jesus said to talk or deal with enemies or anything he taught others to do was what Jesus was already doing. Following his teachings is a way to get us to look more like him. So study what he said is first. The next thing is this, study how he lived. How did Jesus live his day-to-day life? How does that look compared to yours, right? What did he do? How did he handle people? What was his attitude like when dealing with opposition or difficult people? Who did he hang out with? What did he do to keep his faith so strong? What was Jesus's rule of life? In other words, what kind of practices did he keep? Did he read scripture? What did he do when he was tempted? When he was overwhelmed, what did he do? Where did he go? How often did he pray? What's up with him going in the wilderness so much, right? How full was his schedule? How did he handle busyness? What did he do when he had big decisions or stressful moments looming? This sounds kind of basic, and most of you probably already knew this, but simply paying attention to how Jesus lived and then modeling your life after that is a really surprisingly effective way to keep you connected to the vine, right? To keep you drawing near, to keep those selfish desires and stressful busyness from taking over. Doing things that Jesus did may eliminate some things that you currently enjoy, but the payoff can be huge. The payoff keeps you connected and on track. And the bonus payoff, a bonus kingdom payoff, is that when you do this, people then see Jesus through you. And what you'll see is the more you read and study Jesus' life and teaching, the more you'll see how much of what he said and what he did and how he lived were references and fulfillment of scripture. So when you see a little footnote mark in your Bible, right, go back and check out that scripture and see what was being referenced. It's going to open up your eyes to all these hyperlinks of Jesus to Old Testament scripture references, and you'll gain even more appreciation for just how amazing all that Jesus accomplished on his short time on earth was. So you want to look more like Jesus. Study what he said. Study how he lived. And finally, practice. Right? We're going to study what he said. We're going to study how he lived. And then you need to practice doing it and applying it to your own life. Your goal isn't just to know the stuff. Your goal is to live it. We're gonna dive into this a little more in a second. But know that practice is so essential. Don't be the guy that has this memorized but stays in a basement all the time just getting smarter and smarter and smarter. Know what this says, but then go and live it. look more like Jesus. Now, while looking like Jesus, that is the foundation for our solution here. This next sentence is essential in staying connected and consistently drawing near to the Father. Sentence is this: every day. You see, the temptation a lot of us have is that when it comes to our faith, we kind of only study or learn or practice it on Sundays or when something happens and we really need it, right? This is a super, super dangerous approach as a believer. As we study Scripture and Jesus, it's really evident that our faith isn't something that we can just come and go with. That strong foundation is needed. It needs to be an intentional and consistent part of our life every day. Again, not so that we can be saved, right? The cross and Jesus prepared and checked that off the list already for those who believe. We stay consistent in our faith so that we can stay connected and not get sucked into the temptations of the world. Making an intentional effort to look more like Jesus every day will keep us drawing near to the Father. This is so important to you so that you can become proactive with your faith and not reactive with your faith. You're prepped in arms at all times and ready to fight that temptation that comes your way. And know when you study Jesus, it's not going to be like this giant list every time you read about Jesus of both what he said and how he lived every time. Sometimes he's just talking, right? Sometimes it's just going to be about paying attention to what he's doing. Take this bite-sized chunks at a time, right? Take notes while you're reading and go practice it. Or maybe practice by researching more of what you've read in greater detail. Eventually, if you can start doing this daily, it will start to embed itself in your mind and your heart and your soul. And you'll start like oozing these moments of looking more like Jesus without even knowing it. In Isaiah, God says that his word always returns fruit. The more you study it, the more you'll draw near to God and the more fruit you'll produce. The good kind of fruit, right? And the more we're doing this, the more you'll be able to prioritize and recognize what your distractions are. Every day. So I run. I'm a runner. I don't know why. I just run. I hated it at first, but then I really started to like it. I actually love running now. I run far sometimes. Like really far. Like stupid far. Like hurt your body far. Really long stuff. I'll run like these things like ultra marathons that are these long things in the woods. I don't know. I ran to the Grand Canyon one time. I don't know. I'm a weird person. But here's the deal. When you run that far, I've run races or long runs, and the differences between the one that went really good and the ones that went really bad weren't my conditioning. They were my calorie intake. Because when you do these kinds of runs, what you have to make yourself do is take in calories kind of consistently, right? It's necessary. So when I run, basically I have a little timer on my watch, and every hour on these long runs, I'll stop and I'll eat like 100 calories. I have to do it. If I don't do it, I get to the point where I say, I'm really, really tired now, and then you know what happens? It's too late. I can't really catch up. It's possible we can get through it, but it's a lot prettier if I just make it to where every hour I'm taking in those calories. Do you see where I'm going with this, right? This is very similar to what we're talking about here. The more you equip yourself by modeling the ways and teachings of Jesus, the fewer cracks Satan can slip into and the stronger you'll be to fight when he does show up and you start to get distracted or anxious or stressed. So by doing this stuff that we're talking about every day, you're constantly refueling yourself. So even when you do hit a wall of adversity, or right, or like the overflow of junk in life, you've got those reserves in the tank because you've been taking it in every day. Does that make sense? Okay, good. This room didn't say anything, so you guys got it. Should I do this again? We got it, okay. Good. So, all right, so we've got our solution, right? So we've got our solution to how we can avoid pulling away from God in our moments of temptations. It's Jesus and looking more like him every day. So what we're gonna do, we're gonna practice this together, okay? We're gonna practice this. I want you to do this on your own this week, and you can pick what you read. Again, I would really start, you can start in Matthew if you want. But if you start in Matthew, the the first part is just lineage. I'll tell you, for the sake of this exercise, you can skip that part if you want. But you can see where he's born, and then we go into kind of the next part. It's a great place to start. So go, I want you to do this week, but we're going to do this together first. And again, reminder, let's do this so a fifth grader can do this, right? So we all can understand how we can do this. You can get as deep and complex as you want, or you can just kind of keep this like surface level stuff. Either way is totally fine. So let's go back to our original scripture here today, right? And our topic for the day, which is temptation, and we're going to look at Jesus. Let's see how he handled temptation. Remember, we're trying to look more like him. So let's see what he did and what he said and think about how we can practice it. So pro tip, if you're just going to like, this is like the first time you're going to start reading your Bible is this week, and kind of a friendly reminder for everybody, I recommend not just like diving right in. What I would do is kind of back it up a little and get a little context of what's going on so you kind of understand what's being said. Maybe see who's writing the book that you're reading and do some research if you want to. But I wouldn't just open up and just start reading. I would kind of understand what you're reading when you're reading it. And that's simply done by just backing up a little bit to get a little context for the situation. So if we just back up a little bit here, just one chapter, we're going to start in Matthew 4 today, but if we back up to Matthew 3, we see Jesus, we don't see, it's like in Matthew, it's like, my daughter asked me this last night, she goes, he's born, and then he gets baptized. Like, where are the younger years, you know what I mean? So, the different books read differently, but for this, we see, if we back up a little bit, Jesus is fixing to get ready to go and do all the things that you knew Jesus to have done, right? But first, he gets baptized. So he gets baptized by John the Baptist. When that happens, the clouds open, a dove comes down, and the Spirit of God comes to Jesus, right? It's a really crazy story. It happens. So he's got the Spirit of God inside of him now, right? So then where we pick up is right after this happened. So let's read this again. And when we read this, all you have to do is pay attention to what he said. That's pretty easy for this one. Study how he lived. And then let's talk about, and you can be thinking about how you can practice this in your life. And again, for the sake of today, we're talking about temptation. So just think about your own temptation, right? So Matthew 4, I'm going to read it again. But first, I'm taking a drink of water. Okay. Giving Nina a little break over here too. I talk faster than Larry. All right. Is she making fun of me? Okay. All right, Matthew 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came to him and said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus told him, no. The scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple and said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say he will order his angels to protect you and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Jesus responded, the scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God. Next, the devil took him to a peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. I will give it all to you, he said, if you kneel down and worship me. Get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him. For the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil went away, and angels came back and took care of Jesus. And then from here, again, Jesus went on to do all of the things that you know Jesus did, that you've heard about, that you'll hopefully read about this week. Jesus is kind of like the man, right? Like, this is awesome. I love this passage so much for a million reasons. There's a million ways that we can do this. We're going to super simplify for the sake of today. There's so many lessons. There's so many illustrations. There's so many what's going on here. Why did he say that? Where in the Bible is that? We're going to talk about that a little bit. But we're just going to kind of super simplify it for today, right? So I've got this passage. What does Jesus say, right? So this is easy for this, right? Three times he talks in this. All three times, what does he do? He quotes scripture, right? That's all he does. This is important. We'll get to why this is important in a second, but I mean, let's not overlook this next part of how he lived, right? So how is he living? He's fasting, right? So he went in there to fast, which means he's not eating. We're 40 days in. Anybody had a 40-day fast in here? Okay, right? So he's fasting. So that's how he lives. He fasts. This is an important aspect of this, right? He's obedient to the Spirit, right? So we're saying, how did he live? He's obedient to the Spirit. He's led by the Spirit to be tempted. I don't think it was the Spirit grabbing his shirt and pulling him in there. I think the Spirit was telling him to go there. So he was led by the Spirit. He listened to God's Spirit inside of him. And obviously, this is a man, how he lived, is very strong in his faith. He doesn't waver once at this, right? Another thing we can gather from this of how he lived, he really knew Scripture, right? I mean, he really knew Scripture. All three times, all he said, that the Scriptures say. He actually counters Scripture with Scripture. Like Satan tries to get him with Scripture, but he comes back. That's how well Jesus knows Scripture, right? We can gather that for sure. So all these things, right, that's very simple. We just mentioned. Now, for you, if you wanted to, you can stay surface level with that stuff, or you can dive deeper into all of those things if you want, right? For today, we're just going to stay surface level with those things and what we just said. And then we'll go to this next part. So how can we practice from that passage on how we can look more like Jesus from reading that? So again, we see that Jesus really knew these scriptures to fight off temptations. That's what he was doing. We want to look more like Jesus, so probably wise for us to make a habit of reading the Bible, right? We can also practice this thing, this idea of being submissive to the Spirit when it leads us or when we feel like we're being pulled away from God and giving into temptation. Maybe part of our scripture reading can be about what the Holy Spirit is. Like if you're like, I don't get the Holy Spirit, what? Like, read about it, ask questions about it. Study it and then practice it. Maybe we can also study fasting in the scriptures, right? Also just read up on why would Jesus fast? Maybe dig a little deeper on what fasting is. Maybe you consider practicing fasting for a day. See how that goes. Lastly, and this is kind of the big one from here, Jesus was without food for 40 days. So he was completely out of it. Yet so well-versed in Scripture that that's what he fought with when Satan came after him. That's what came out of him when he was on empty. Not his own strength, not his own brilliant solution, not a witty comeback. He didn't give in to his desires, right? I mean, I think his probably desires were to eat, don't you? Don't you think he probably wanted to eat? Don't you think he really wanted to make Satan feel really stupid with a really catchy thing? Right? Yet he fought Satan off with God's word. That's what he went to in weakness and temptation. I wonder if God's word is what comes out of me when I'm completely depleted and under attack, right? Like, is that what comes out of you? So if the answer is like, no, maybe we can practice by making sure we know what this says, know what God says, know who Jesus is, and allow that to come out of you. So again, we can fight, we can practice fighting temptations by equipping ourselves with the word of God, right? Maybe you take some extra time this week to be prayerful and intentional to begin to equip yourself with the word of God and what it has to say and not lean so much on your own strength, but God's strength through you, especially when it comes to temptation. Like, just kind of like allow your mindset to be reshaped, right? When you study Jesus. See how we did that? Easy, right? Okay, here's your homework. Your homework this week. You should do it. I would eliminate something and do this instead, okay? Here's your homework. You can pick whatever you eliminate, though. So I want you to get a Bible. Does anybody not have a Bible? I have a Bible right here if you need it. I have three Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, come find me afterwards. Get a Bible. I will give you a Bible. I'll give you one nicer than this fancy one that I'm usually giving, all right? Whoop. Get a Bible. We're going to start when you read this with the Gospels, like we said. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is where we're going to see the Jesus stuff in there, right? These are four accounts of the same story, all filled with the goodness of Jesus. Read them in really small bites, okay? Maybe take some notes as you study what he says, how he lived, and think about how you can practice looking that way and then go from there. This is a for real challenge. I'm going to ask you next week. Do it every day this week. Like, I'm not telling you how long to do it, but just do it every day this week. and make an intentional, right? Like make an intentional effort every day to look more like Jesus. And pray before you start. Pray for God to reveal something new to you, something you've never seen or even considered before. Ask him to help you look more like Jesus. And if you're like hesitant or you're like super nervous about just opening this up and just doing this, I can't make this mandatory, but the Bible Project, are we familiar with the Bible Project? It's fantastic. If you don't know what the Bible Project is, get the app or look it up online. This fits in so perfectly for what the Bible Project. This year, the Bible Project is spending 52 weeks on the Sermon on the Mount, which is the greatest teaching ever from Jesus. And what it does is you can start from the beginning if you want. You can go as deep or shallow as you want. It's got a video, it's got the scripture you should be reading, and then it's got a podcast diving into that scripture to explain what's going on. It is life-changing and fascinating to break these things down and really interesting. They do a great job. So if you're like, I'm not great at just opening this thing up, I'm really nervous about that, that's okay. You can still do it, but if you need a little help, Bible Project, a wonderful, wonderful resource for you to dive into. And just, again, another one to keep in your back pocket. It's fantastic, especially this year, because all they're doing is looking at Jesus' teachings. So there's videos for you to watch, there's scripture for you to read to help prompt you there, and there's breakdowns through podcasts that are fascinating of what he taught, okay? So attempting to look more like Jesus is this journey that you're probably, spoiler alert, never going to fully accomplish, right? But it's a journey worth taking. Really, like honestly, how cool would it be if someone saw Jesus through you as a result of you learning to fight off temptation in your life, right? Like how cool if that was the shift of you being super stressed and paraspao, right? And that shifted only from you shifting your focus to Jesus and trying to look more like him. Parents, how amazing would it be if your kids saw you shift from someone who sometimes talked about Jesus or took him to church to someone who actually looked like Jesus? So take some time every day to look more like Jesus when you look to fight off these temptations of life. What you're gonna see once you start doing this, what we mentioned, is this little life hack, it just doesn't help with temptations. It helps with everything, all areas of life. So adjust your focus on the solution, Jesus. Again, how cool would it be if we people who call ourselves Christians or disciples of Jesus decided that when it comes to how we're going to handle temptations and how we should be living, we decided we're going to stop focusing on what we think is best and just focus more on looking like Jesus. If that were to happen, it would be like this little pocket of heaven overlapping with life here on earth. Or as Jesus would say, on earth as it is in heaven. The problem on this fallen earth is that so much of it draws us away from God. It's a difficult problem, but the solution is simple. The solution is Jesus. So take some time this week to look more like him every day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you so much for the most basic and simple message of all time, but one that can be so impactful and life-changing for those who maybe knew what they should be doing, but they just have kind of just drifted away, Lord. All of us are distracted and have our own paraspao with different areas of our life at different times. And God, I just pray that this message is just one of those back pocket messages that we can keep. Maybe we need it right now, or maybe we'll need it down the line when we start to drift. But God, let us remember that our solutions probably don't lie in the brilliance of our brain, but through the moving of your spirit through us and the teachings of your word. And God, let us learn those and how to manifest those and work through those by studying your son, Jesus. Thank you for his teachings. Thank you for his word. Thank you for sending him for us so that we don't have to be perfect because he was. Lord, help us model our life again, not so that we will earn the salvation with you, God, but so that we can draw more near to you in all the ways that we live. Again, I thank you for this congregation. I pray they'll take this challenge seriously, that they will make an effort today to make a change, to focus more on you, and to look more like Jesus every day. In your name we pray, amen.